Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Good morning to all of our online family, and what a special day for us because we are celebrating Resurrection Sunday as one church in two cities. Come on, let's say good morning to Philadelphia Tabernacle. God bless you guys. Hallelujah, he lives. Now let me show you, teach you a quick church tradition. This morning, real early, people have been here since like 5 in the morning or more, and so Pastor Tim called me real early this morning. And when we said hello to each other, I said to him, "He is risen." And his reply was, "He is risen indeed." Okay, you ready? He is risen, everyone. He is risen indeed. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. That's a great tradition to practice. He is risen indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm so excited to be here, able to talk to you about Resurrection Sunday, the most powerful day that ever took place on planet Earth. And as we get ready to talk about this, I think that we should all be filled with the expectation to talk about some epic things. When you come to church on Easter Sunday, you should expect a huge conversation. You should expect to be thinking about and contemplating some of the most important things in your life and in all of history. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture, a part of the resurrection story that very often gets overlooked. People know that Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, and then on the third day, he rose again in power. How many would say amen? But every moment of this story is packed with so much meaning and significance that what I want to do is I want to zero in on something so that we could learn more about what really happened 2,000 years ago. By the way, I had it in my notes and I didn't put this, but next week, I want you to come back because I'm going to be speaking about one of the gifts that you receive after you receive Jesus. You know what that gift is? It's the gift of rest. How many could use some deep, deep rest? Let me see your hands. Amen. Come back next week because I want to talk to you all about that, and it's going to be wonderful and powerful. Amen. But as we contemplate what was going on from Friday to Sunday, I want to zero in, going all the way back to Friday, I want to zero in on the actual moment. So we know that Jesus was born of a virgin. When he was 30 years old, he began his ministry. His ministry was marked by great acts of love, of power, of healing, of transformation. We know that he never sinned. He was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. We know that after 3 years, he actually fulfilled the reason why he came to the earth, which was to offer himself as the sacrificial lamb. When they nailed him to the cross, which was probably on the ground, before they lifted it up, when they nailed him to the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, Jesus was on a very grand mission. Jesus had an epic and eternal mission that had been given to him from his heavenly Father. And then he hung on the cross for a number of hours. And then that brings us to right this moment that I want to read to you, Matthew 27, beginning with verse 50. And I'm going to read through a passage of scripture to you today in pieces because of the way the Bible describes this. So Matthew 27, verse 50 says this. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he had cried out several times. First he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which reveals the plight of Christ, that for that one moment, what was about to take place was that God, the Heavenly Father, was to turn his eyes away and allow fellowship between he and Jesus to be broken. This is very, very important. Listen very closely. For that moment, he was allowing for fellowship to be broken between his one and only perfect son. He said, why have you forsaken me? And then he cries out again in a loud voice. And it says, he gave up his spirit. And then three words, brothers and sisters. Are you ready for the three words? The three words are as follows. At that moment. Everybody say at that moment. At that moment, the Bible says. That moment, there was one moment that triggered the most important event in all of history. It was at that moment. I want to tell you something, that moment was actually a three-day moment. We don't understand that because we are not part of eternity. We don't understand eternity. But this moment was a moment that matched the regular time to all of eternity. And it was at that moment that the greatest thing that ever happened was triggered on the planet. Now, this is a great question to be thinking about. What was the greatest moment in history? That's the title of my message today, The Greatest Moment. What was the greatest moment in all of history? Because this three-day moment, brothers and sisters, I want you to know, was more than historic. It was eternal. It was more than natural. It was supernatural. It was more than judicial. It was sacrificial. It was more than locational. It was universal. That moment was for all mankind. Could somebody say amen to that? Hallelujah. Without this moment, we wouldn't be here. Not celebrating the way we're celebrating today. I argue that this was the greatest moment in history, even though lots of people disagree. So we Googled the greatest moment in history, and one internet periodical has the life of Jesus as number 22 on the list. Are you kidding me? He gets number 22. Now, what's really interesting is number 14 was the Great Reformation, and the Great Reformation was all based on the life of Jesus. So I don't know how they got there. But guess what number one was? The number one event, according to this periodical, was the invention of the internet and the digital revolution. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. Your cell phone is the greatest thing that ever happened. How many would agree the internet is jacking a lot of people up these days? That's certainly not the greatest moment. We lived quite fine well before the internet came about, but it's interesting what people think about when it comes to the greatest moment in history. Some of the thoughtful academics might say that the greatest moment in history was when they claim that 4.3 billion years ago, life was formed. See, here's what some academics say. Some academics say that at 4.3 billion years ago, there was nothing. And then all of a sudden, in some kind of special primordial soup, life began. okay? It was like a, I just always think about it as being green for some reason, pea soup. I don't know, but they say it was sun soup. Now, here's the thing. Most prebiotic, abiotic chemists will still concede that only a living organism can beget another living organism. So scientists will say it takes life to create life. Now, here's what I would challenge. What I would challenge is that we don't have telescopes, microscopes, instruments, mechanisms that can go 4 billion years behind us to actually know what happened. Our math is not good enough. Our science is not good enough. Our medicine is not good enough. How do I know that? I'll tell you why. It's because we have things that we're dealing with right now that we can't conquer. How are we going to discern what happened 4 billion years ago? Nobody knows what happened 4 billion years ago. We just are not there yet. It's an interesting thing how all of science spends its time studying order. You know that, right? When doctors study the human body, they study how it operates when it's in order. I just finished reading a book about health, and it turns out that cancer, that dreaded, that wicked disease, is actually when our cells actually are in a state of disorder, and so they're trying to tackle disorder. So all of science is the study of order, but what we are declaring is that from disorder, order came, and I would challenge that, because how many know you don't get order from disorder? But we choose to believe that instead of believing that it was life that brought forth life. Well, I declare that the living eternal God is the one who spoke life into existence. We are here because there is a living God, hallelujah, who has the power to bring forth life. Now, if you did a survey, I think that there might be some Chicagoans who say, no, I know what the greatest moment of history was. The greatest moment in history is when the Cubs won the World Series after 100 years. Look at this sign. He has risen. Talking about Kyle Schwarber, right? I remember watching the news and a guy saying on the news after they won the World Series, he was like, my life has changed. How do you know your life ain't changed because the Cubs win the World Series? And just for our family in Philadelphia, yes, The what was that play that won the Super Bowl a few years ago? The Philly Special. The Philly Special wins the Super Bowl in 2018. Come on, let's clap for Philadelphia right now, everybody in Chicago. No, that was not the greatest moment in history. By the way, our church is like a 5-minute walk right from where the parade is in Philadelphia. Pray as we say for Philadelphia Tabernacle. What was the greatest moment in history, and why would it be possible to claim what the greatest moment in all of history was? Because that's the real issue. So I want to unpack this verse for you, because there's more things that happened that triggered this 3-day event. It was a 3-day moment. Now, you could say, how could you have a 3-day moment? Compared to eternity, this was a 3-day moment. There were things happening in the spirit realm that you and I cannot understand. But from this moment to the moment that Jesus rose from the dead in power, I declare to you, was the greatest moment in all of history. And here is why. Number one. Something happened on earth that triggered something amazing from heaven. Why was this the greatest moment? Is because what happened on earth at that moment actually triggered heaven, and something amazing was released from heaven. Now watch what the Bible says here in verse 52. It says the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. At that moment when Jesus gave up his spirit, it triggered something from heaven. Power was released from God himself on the earth. This was done in plain sight, brothers and sisters. When you think about the greatest moment in history, remember that Jesus is the only God, the only one who claimed to be God, who actually came to the earth and offered himself. And at that moment, when he gave up his spirit, and he gave up his spirit for all of humanity, for all mankind, heaven was triggered. And here's what happens. The Bible says that the curtain, which was 60 feet high and 30 feet wide, that curtain was in the temple, and the curtain blocked the ark of God, and it was called the Holy of Holies, where the quote, the presence of God symbolically was housed in. But at that moment, when Jesus gave up his spirit, the curtain was torn from top to bottom, and the way was opened up for us. God was sending a message to you and to me that the door is open now. At that moment, the door for fellowship was open. We could get back to Jesus. You see, when Adam sinned in the garden, sin entered into this world. Every time you look at some crazy thing on this planet, something wicked, something dark, something evil, something sick, something unholy, it all started at the moment when Adam disobeyed God. And when you read the Old Testament, all that you see is Jesus giving us stories pointing to the moment that he would open the way for us. I've got news for you today. You know, sometimes when you invite an unbeliever to church, especially on Easter, people say things like, if I walk into that building, I don't go to church because the building might fall, lightning might strike. You have no idea what I've done. Well, I've got news for you. At that moment, the price was paid for anything in your past and in my past. You know what is waiting for you? The door is open. Jesus is waiting. At that moment when the curtain was torn in two, Jesus was declaring to everyone, I want to be close to you. And even if you feel unworthy, if you're watching in Philadelphia, if you're watching online, you might feel unworthy. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done, but Jesus knows exactly what you've done. And guess what? When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Hallelujah. He paid the price that day to open the door for us to have fellowship with him again. At that moment, he made a way for us to be close to God. Jesus was put on trial. Do you know that that was the trial of the ages? They speak about the trial of the century, the trial of this decade, or the trial of the year. That was the trial of the ages. And Jesus said, I will die and pay the price for the sin of all mankind, so that man can freely come. You know why we celebrate he lives? Because when he rose from the dead, after that moment, when he rose from the dead, his arms were open wide to you and me. Could we praise God that his arms are open wide for all mankind? Hallelujah. No matter how far you feel from God, that's just your feelings. That's not God's heart for you. You need to get over what you think you've done, because Jesus already took care of it. He opened the door. Where is God in terms of how he stands with us? The door is open. Anybody here happy that the door is open? Hallelujah. And that moment triggered him coming down. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. He said, it costs God nothing, so far as we can tell, to create nice things. But to convert rebellious wills costs him the crucifixion. And so all throughout history, there have been moments when people said, may the Lamb of God receive the reward of his sufferings. You know what that reward is, brothers and sisters? That reward is a relationship with you and me. Jesus did not come to this earth for us to have religion. Jesus came so you and I would open the door because he opened the door and that we could have relationship with him. The door was open. When was the door open? It was at that moment. So the first thing that happened is what Jesus did on the earth triggered something very, very powerful from heaven. There's no longer any reason why you can't be close to God. There's no past issue. There's no present issue. You can't be close to God. The door is open. But here's the second thing that happened, which was really, really powerful. Then something happened in heaven that released freedom, life, and healing on the earth. So when God saw that moment, he released his power, and look at what the Bible says. It says the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. At that moment, something was triggered, and guess what heaven did? Heaven opened tombs. Heaven opened the prison of man. When you go to the cemetery and you see a tomb, you know there's an element of finality. And there is an element of finality to that, except when Jesus is involved. And at that moment, Jesus broke open the tomb. And here's what I would say to you. That was a message to you and I, that if he could open those prison doors, literally bring people back to life, how many know he can break open our prison doors in the here, in the now. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're battling with, whatever you're challenged by, at that moment, the power of God came. You don't have to be hooked on something. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be broken down. The power of God is ready, is willing and able to raise you up if you put your faith in him. Hallelujah. It was at that moment. And see, what separates Christianity from all other religions and philosophies is that Jesus doesn't just pay the price for you. Jesus comes to live inside of you and empower you. How do people get free? We have everything at this church. You name it, we got it. We're not proud of it, but that's what it is. Everything. Whatever your top 10 wicked list is, we got one of those. But how many know we are all from the same cesspool of sin? No one is righteous, not even one. How many know not one of us can point a finger at anybody else because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? How many would say amen? But at that moment, Jesus released his power and he broke open the tombs and people came back to life because Jesus was prophetically declaring, when you receive me as Lord and Savior, I will give you new life. Jesus came to give us new life. If anyone is in Christ, hallelujah, they are a new creation. Jesus came to give us new life. The old is past. Behold, the new has come. When we accept Jesus, has anybody here ever experienced a new life that is found in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. And that's why, if we wanted to, we could take the next 2 weeks and one person after the other could stand right here and say, my marriage was destroyed until Jesus came in power. My mind was destroyed until Jesus came in power and broke the prison doors open for my life. I was a prison to dark things. And then Jesus came in power, broke open the prison doors. You know, it's interesting. A number of years ago, when we first bought this building, we had a unique collection of businesses here. One of them was this, it was a porn shop, it was a bookstore. And it didn't stay here for very long, by the way. But one day, a man came to our church. He just popped into my mind. And the way he came to the church was that he was a businessman who actually was making a great living, quite successful, but found himself alone in his home and he was on the verge of suicide. He was teetering. Life had become meaningless because a successful career won't deliver. Life had become so shallow. All of his relationships had been destroyed. Sometimes we don't want to, but we destroy our relationships, and on and on and on. So he had everything, but he had nothing. And so he was gonna take his life. And he just fell on his knees and he kind of cried out to God and he didn't know what to do. And I don't know exactly how he found it, if it was the internet. Praise God for the internet for this one, right? But he like Googled churches or looked in a phone book. And anyway, he found Chicago Tabernacle. And what he said to himself was, oh, I know exactly where that church is. That church is right at the porno bookstore I used to hang out in all the time. I'm gonna go right there. And he just moved over a couple doors. He went from prison. He went from bondage. He went from death. Hallelujah. He came in here. He gave his life to Jesus. How many know if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation? Hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you're like, you're talking about something like that on Easter? No, that's exactly what Easter's for. It's for the down and dirty. It's for all of the ugly. It's for the most difficult thing in your life. You know what Resurrection Sunday is about? It's about the power of God that is able to set you free. Hallelujah! Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I've seen him set free. Hallelujah. From addict to murderer to anything that you could think of, he can break you out of that prison. If you open up your heart to Jesus, at that moment, he was sending you a message. He put it in black and white. There is no tomb that can hold you down because there was no tomb that could hold him down. Could somebody say amen? In Philadelphia, you cannot be held down by any power on this earth because of that moment. He sent his power to set men free. He is risen. Yes, he's risen indeed. And so imagine, earth triggers heaven. Heaven impacts earth. For all of eternity, listen, for all of eternity, because God lives outside of time, when you accept him into your heart, you too now are guaranteed a passage into eternity. How does a person live forever? There's only one way. You receive the God who lives forever. How many would say amen? Have you received the God that lives forever? All of these things happened at that moment. I want you to think about this throughout the days, because it will nourish you and strengthen you more and more and more. Jesus is more than just a good story. The life of Jesus Christ is the one and only answer to true life and joy and peace inside of the soul, because of what happened at that moment. He took our place. He offered himself. Now watch this. Watch this last thing. At that moment, something happened in the human heart that revealed the truth that sets men free. All in one moment. Look at what the Bible says. The centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened. They were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." So watch this. At that moment, the same guys who most likely beat him. Do you know that when Jesus was arrested, they beat him? Do you know they spit on him? They made fun of him? Do you know they put a crown of thorns on his head? They were moving him around, and then they put a cross on him, and he had to carry that cross. And when he would fall, they would kick him and say, "Get up." They were whipping him. Then the same guys, listen, the same guys who crucified him, at that moment, they got a revelation. And they said, "Surely he was the Son of God." And you know what, brothers and sisters? All that it takes to start a relationship with Jesus is in one moment, is to put your faith in the fact that he was the one and only Son of the Most High God. Does anybody here believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Come on, put your hands together with me. Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. Hallelujah. That was the moment for the centurion. That was the moment. There is a one and only moment. So look, this huge thing that happened that impacted eternity, this huge thing that opened graves, and this huge thing that had God come down in power, all of this huge thing was for one reason. So that ages moving forward, somebody here would say, "Surely Jesus was the Son of God, and today I want to make him my God." How do you become a Christian? That's it. How do you start a relationship with God? You take advantage of all that Jesus did by offering his life. And listen, this doesn't just apply for one time when you accept the Lord. I want you to know, every believer here, part of the reason why we should celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ is because that power of God remains with us to help us every step of the way. How many are thankful that he not only lives inside of us, but he walks with us every step of the way? Is anybody happy for fellowship with Jesus in 2024? One moment. It takes one moment. I was 17 years old. I had never heard, like, formally the presentation of the gospel. I knew about Jesus. And in one moment on a baseball field, I prayed that prayer. I made a basic declaration. And I was born again, the Son of God. I said, "Surely you're the Son of God. Would you come help me?" And he swept over my soul. When you become a Christian, there's a moment in time that you have the same kind of revelation as the centurion. What was the centurion saying? The centurion was basically saying, "We crucified an innocent man." He was innocent. He didn't deserve what he got, but he did it for bigger reasons. Surely he was the Son of God. And it happened at that moment. The greatest moment in history in heaven is only matched by certain moments here on earth. And you know what that moment is? It's the moment that we put our faith in Jesus Christ.